Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Off the show here.
We're agreeing!
So cleaned up.
Alrighty, welcome back, Bills Mafia. Welcome to the Mafia Cast, part of the Buffalo Rumblings Podcast Network. Appreciate you coming in here. Guys, we got a playoff game this weekend. We pulled it out. How are you guys doing today?
Great, man.
A lot better than I was doing Sunday night, I can tell you that much. I'm pretty sure I'm wearing like wear marks in my carpet in my living room from pacing around so much during the football games. And I texted you guys this too. I'm way too young to this, have these kind of heart problems and blood pressure issues.
I think I hit my head on a couple things.
The table. No. I don't know if my heart can keep taking this kind of thing. But Richard, yeah, happy victory Thursday, since we are live on a Thursday. We got some stuff to talk about. First, we want to kind of get into a little get away from the games and talk, I guess, what would you call it? Just your part of your fandom, if you will. But before we get into that, I do want to just kind of throw it out there. Number one, if you're listening right now, if you're on the live feed where you listen to this podcast, thank you. Please hit the like and subscribe on whatever platform you are listening to your podcast and vidcast from. We appreciate that. Super chats are of course open. Again, just wanted to thank you from the Mafia Cast for your support and being part of this. We love doing this. It's a lot of fun interacting with Bills fans. Mike Casey, you got anything to add?
Tell your friends.
Tell your friends.
That's what Casey usually say that for the end of the show, but tell your friends. That's the only way that this kind of stuff works. You know, we're all friends with Bills fans. You know, one person tells one tells two tells four. You know, that's how this kind of thing grows. You know, we're not looking. None of us have gotten into this to become famous, to become rich. You know, we do this because it's fun. You know,
right?
Like Bills Mafia is family. Like when Ronnie and I started this podcast originally, it was basically two guys talking in a bar, you know, just having a conversation, what our thoughts were about just what's going on with the team, what made us love the team, you know, and that's half the fun. We treat this as a tailgate. So we're glad that as many people have been along for the ride as they have been and continue to be.
I see random people, you know, Bills shirt and get a Go Bills and then get chatting a little. And they're like customers I'm working for, homeowners and stuff. And I'm like, hey, man, you in a podcast or anything like that? So I'm always trying to tell everybody. And even if they're not, you know, they might get into it, you know, if it's not their thing. I was never huge into podcasts or anything like that until Casey kind of got me listening to a few of them. And it really is cool, informational, you know, all different stuff.
A lot of fun. Definitely a lot of fun.
And it keeps us from bugging our wives.
Yeah.
And I know they appreciate that part.
Yeah.
There is some aspect to this, of that as well. The whole go Bills part of the Bills Mafia it's a lot of fun. When we traveled back to Buffalo for that week two game against the Raiders and we're going through the airports, my kids have never been there, my girls. So when we're walking through the airports and people see us all decked out in our Bills stuff and random strangers saying "Go Bills," my kids thought it was the coolest thing. Mm-hmm. They were so excited. In fact, one of them was so excited about it, she forgot to say it back, and I was like, "Oh my gosh, you can't let people hang it." So we all like "Go Bills" back behind us. Don't even know who said it, but we... that's got to be one of my favorite parts.
It's a must. It's a must. Mafia.
Yeah,
it is. It's cool. Fun.
So with that, let's kind of, you know, move on into our first topic here. We were going to get into the games. I do already see some comments in the comment section regarding the Steelers upcoming game. We're going to get to that. But before we go into that, we just kind of want to go off on a little bit of a tangent here. And I want to hear from the people in the comments as well. If you're watching right now, throw in a comment. We'll put it up on the screen because we want to know who is your favorite Bills player, your first favorite Bills player, and why. And if you say Josh Allen, that's going to tell us how young you are in your fandom. But no, for real. So we'll start with Casey. Do you have somebody? Are you ready for this?
Yes, I'm ready for this.
All right. Well, we're going to let Casey start us off. Go for it, man.
So my first of all, like, my family has like bled Bills since I was born. And my grandpa was a diehard Bills fan. He changed my dad from a Giants fan to a Bills fan when he met my mom. You know, the Bills have ran in my blood. And growing up, we always used to go to one game a year, my dad, my grandfather, my uncle, and myself. And I remember getting my first jersey, and it was Eric Molds. And it was, I mean, so like my first team that I can truly have memories of was the J.P. Lossman era with J.P. and Lee Evans, you know, all those guys, Eric Molds. It was so much fun because I didn't understand how bad we were. Like, but I could see just how good individual like players were, how great Eric Molds was, how good Lee Evans was, you know. And Lee, like, you always saw the Tom Brady posters as a kid, the Ben Roethlisberger posters, you know, all those guys. And you know, it sucked living in Central New York and like seeing teams that aren't from my state even like being put on posters in my schools. And Lee Evans was put on a Got Milk poster in my school. it was just the coolest thing to me, because I was like, finally, like it made me somebody else sees the greatness that I see, even at like the young age that I was at. I knew how good he was. And like ever since like that poster, I was like, all right, like he's it. Like he was my guy. Like I was a ride or die for Lee Evans and Eric Molds. Like those were like my go-to players every time. Like I loved them. I'll like fight on their side to the day I die. Standing for them.
Right.
Yeah, I know a lot of people probably felt initially that way about Lee Evans. I remember he had a couple of drops and in the end zones that I think people weren't too happy about. You know, you brought up that time frame, and it just got me to thinking about the players in that team from then. I'm going to throw a Madden reference in here. I downloaded a Madden roster that somebody had built based on the 2005 Bills roster. You look at that roster with Takeo Spikes.
Fletcher.
Eric Molds, Fletcher, Laurie Malloy, Willis McGahee. Yeah. Like, how did we not have a good team then?
Because we had terrible quarterbacks.
J.P. Lossman was on the rise.
Oh, my God. I thought he was, dude.
I'm looking through some rosters now, and there is some bad quarterbacks.
I really thought J.P. Lossman was it, but like, I'm like pleading the fifth of the age, like in just ignorance of the age and truly not knowing good football, I guess.
Anytime there's like, a new QB, oh though, God, they're so good. There's a hype around it, though. Right.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, because I had the same feeling about like Trent Edwards when he replaced J.P. Lossman. And then when 5-0 happened, I was like, let's go. I was like, screw Tom Brady. I was like, we have Tom Brady. And then we went like 1-11 the rest of the year.
Well, I would follow that by saying we went 5-0. Then Trent got his world rocked. And then we lost every game after that. I honestly do think he would have been maybe the guy. I'm not saying like Tom Brady level or anything like that, but I think the team maybe had our franchise quarterback with him. Had it not been for that hit, I think that hit literally messed him up in his career. Yeah. no way to prove that, obviously, but we got a couple people in here. So Richard Rush, well, I'm one comment so far. Richard Rush, favorite player, Thurman Thomas, awesome in college and the pros. Yeah, I remember watching Thurman Thomas at Oklahoma State. And trivia question, who was Thurman Thomas's backup?
Barry Sanders.
There you go.
Wow.
Backing up. Yeah, Barry Sanders back up to Thurman Thomas. It's just wild that the Oklahoma State had that backfield. Mike, who's your first favorite?
Oh, so I'm really glad Casey said Eric Molds, because that is definitely a player that kind of stood out to me. So I'm glad he mentioned him. But I also want to just throw out there that there was a lot of Tom Brady being thrown around. but aside from the Molds thing and all that, I feel like it has to do with something with Brady. And I've always been more of like a, you know, more on the defensive side of things. So some of the players and I've been a casual Bills fan. I liked other teams, you know, when I was a lot younger, but I had very close friends and family that liked the Bills, and I really started following them like in the late 90s, early 2000s. But what stood out to me the most when I first really started watching Bills games is defensive players that could lay some good hits. And one of those players that laid a good hit in those years was the Nate Clements hit on Tom Brady. So those defensive players that can lay a smack have always stood out to me. And to see a cornerback that can fly around, make plays like that. He did special teams. He did some returning. So he was definitely, I want to say one of my first, if not my first favorite Bills player. So other than that, I could go back a few more years, but there's no player where like I could just pick the specific play. I mean, I know that video circles around the internet, but that's really one of the ones that I remember at first. One of the first real, you know, good memories of the Bills.
Yeah, here's we've got another one here from Joe. First favorite player was Jairus Byrd. Amazing rookie season, was fun to watch. Yeah, talk about a, I don't want to say one hit wonder, because he did have a few good seasons, but I don't think he lasted with the team much more than 3 or 4 years. And I correct me if I'm wrong, I don't remember for sure, but I think he signed a deal somewhere else after.
He went to the Saints.
After
his rookie deal, and just shell of himself comparatively. I mean, he started, but I mean, it was never like the first two seasons he was in Buffalo when he was hands down the best safety in the league.
Yeah, he was awesome to watch for sure. You know, for me, my time goes back a little bit before you guys, obviously know that. And it's, I think I've said this before, but Steve Tasker, and Tasker's been on the show before too. Mm-hmm. And we'd love to get him back on sometime. But for me, it was him. And the only reason was a lot of the same things that I like about Josh Allen. And I mean, I even hate to say this, but even Tom Brady. When I see a player with that fiery, competitive edge that's like above and beyond everybody else on the football field, that to me is what gets my attention. And that is how Steve Tasker played the game. Plus the fact that he was no bigger than me. Like he was, what, 5'10", 160 pounds, soaking wet. He might have been a little bit bigger than that, but I know he was like 5'9", 5'10". So for me, being like, you know, 12, 13, 14-year-old kid at that time and seeing someone like him excelling and doing so well and getting it done at the NFL level made me feel like, you know what? I may not be 6'4". I may not be 240 pounds, but there's a place in the NFL for guys like me. Obviously, it didn't work out for me, but – the biggest shocker. Difference.
It's never too late, yeah, Ronnie.
Yeah, I don't know about that. The biggest difference between me and Tasker, he's a sub-4.4 guy. I was never, ever that fast. that makes a difference, especially when you're, you know, 5'10", 100, whatever. Yeah. But yeah, Steve Tasker for me was the guy. And we've got some other ones in here from Spin. His favorite was Eric Molds. And I'm glad you brought up Eric Molds, because I do want to kind of go back to that. We've talked about best receivers in the NFL or on the Bills team before. And I have made this point a few times that to me, it's Eric Molds. I know we've had some great receivers over the time. There's Albert DeVinion going back to the 60s and early 70s. Obviously, Andre Reed, James Lofton, Eric Molds, Diggs. Well, current teams. Molds did so much more with, absolutely, like you just said it, the quarterback play that we had for 20 years, almost 20 years, was atrocious. For him to do the things that he did and put up the numbers that he did, and defenses knowing that he was going to be the guy and he still got it done, to me, he's hands down the best receiver to play in Buffalo.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Mm-hmm.
So here's something that I want to show you guys and everybody. This is how far back my fandom goes. I'll get it up to the screen.
Nice.
There's McGahee, Evans.
Yep. I like seeing McGahee in there too, because as you were talking about like the bad quarterbacks, like I feel like that's why, you know, we used to be a really more of a run-based team. I mean, we're coming around to that a little bit more now, but and running backs like that, I think, stood out too, in years past.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you look at the history during the drought. We had McGahee, Travis Henry was really good. Obviously, Marshawn Lynch was in there. Fred Jackson was in there. We had C.J. Spiller have a couple of good seasons. That's one area that Buffalo's always been pretty good at was the running backs, even going back to Thurman Thomas and before that, O.J. Simpson. And before that, Cookie Gilchrist. I mean, there's a long, long line of really, really good running backs, not only in Bills history, but in the league period. And, I mean, we're near two. James Cook, maybe he can get on that list as well. We'll see. Yeah, imagine Eric Molds with Josh Allen. It would be over. Like, don't get me wrong. I love Stephon Diggs. He's one of those guys, like we were just talking about, with that fiery competitive edge. But, like, he just doesn't have the size like Eric Molds had. So, like, in traffic, yes, Diggs is always going to get in there. He's always going to get dirty. He's always going to go for the catch. But we just don't have a guy like Molds anymore. And I think if they could find somebody like that, like a DK Metcalf, for example, that's the one thing in this passing game. And maybe, who knows, maybe Justin Shorter can be that guy. We'll have to wait till next year, but that's a whole nother conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, Roy, we'll have to throw this up. Come on, guys. You know Robert Foster was our best ever wide receiver. Oh, man. You know,
for a hot minute, it looked like he was going to be.
Hey, I think
for like three games, it looked like he was going to be.
That is a prime example of why Josh Allen is one of the best, because he made a guy off the streets essentially look like maybe an all-star.
He got him paid. Miami threw a nice little bag at him, you know, and he went to Miami and he did his job and crapped the bed for us. Like, that's exactly, I think they knew what they were doing with that.
Yeah, Joe Cribbs was another running back that I didn't mention a while ago. Yeah, one of these days we should do, maybe probably this offseason, maybe we'll do a top running backs in Bills history, do like a five top 10 or something like that. Mm-hmm. 'Cause there's a lot of history there for those guys. But Spin also adds in here, DK is injury prone. Yeah, I'm just talking like that physical type, the bigger guy. But what are some of the names? Another one that sticks out for me was Don Beebe. I'm sure you guys have seen that clip in the Super Bowl. Another one of those guys that for me that I enjoyed watching, you know, aside from the Thurman Thomases and the Bruce Smiths and Leon Sills and, you know, all of those guys. That's me, Don Beebe, Steve Tasker. Thurman Thomas is probably one of my all-time favorites.
Yeah. Well, my guy right here on my shirt, Andre Reed. I mean, obviously when you're a kid, you know, you want the ball. You want to be the playmaker. And, like, seeing Andre Reed – and, like, I was too young when he was playing to know or really appreciate it. So as I got older, you know, going back and watching stuff, like I could see and like truly appreciate just how good he was. And like it just made me fall in love with him even more. So, I mean, if I was maybe Mike's age, you know, another 5 years older, Andre Reed probably would have been my answer for this.
Yeah. And while we're mentioning receivers, we can't leave out Stevie Johnson.
Stevie, yes.
Yeah. He's one of my all-time favorites as well. Just because, like, his story is what attracts me to him. Like, being, like, not even in the league, basically, stocking shelves and just battling on the practice. And I remember reading during the preseason, oh, Stevie Johnson is, you know, working the corners over in practice. I'm like, why is this guy not getting a chance on the field? And we keep hearing about him. And, you know, finally he got his chance and we, you know, it's all history from there. Some other receivers that were mentioned here, Peerless Price. I'm pretty sure that's spelled wrong, but that's okay. We still love you, Spin.
I think it's autocorrect. Yeah,
probably. Yeah, Peerless Price was a fun one too. Like him and Molds together was a good duo. Mm-hmm. And some other ones, Nate Clements, Stevie Johnson's name came up.
Andre
Reed.
I definitely agree with Nate.
Yeah. I'm going to put this one up here. Frankie Matthews says Andre Reed revolutionized what over the middle means. That is absolutely fact. Like Andre Reed was one of the toughest football players I've ever seen and watched play. Yeah. That was phenomenal. He would take a hit. And in those days, concussion or not, nobody cared. They got on the field and they played and they continued to play. So
you think that dude ever got a concussion with that big old head? No way. There's way too much cushioning.
Just want to shout out Corey here watching. Go Bills, brother. He's a huge Bills fan. So glad to see him in here.
Yeah, I'm not sure what Spence's comment is there.
Don't know.
But I'm not going to repeat some of it. So this offseason, we're going to have a lot of fun, I think, with, you know, talking about some of the past teams. Hopefully, we'll spend some time comparing this potential Super Bowl champion team this year to the past teams. And speaking of which, I actually just put up an article this morning on Buffalo Lowdown ranking the top five division champions in Bills history. I'm not going to spoil it here, so you guys got to go check that out. But I'll just throw it out there, though, since we're on the subject. Put you guys on the spot probably, but if you had to say who was your best Bills team as far as divisional titles, who would you put at the top?
Division title winning teams?
Just division title, yeah.
Of the last 5 years or all time?
All time.
Oh, dude.
this could take some time.
Okay.
Well, the recency bias of the first year that we swept the East, like that. I don't think I had ever had that feeling like of being a fan, like being a fan before, like feeling so untouchable. And then when we did it the second year in a row, I was like, oh my God, this is how Patriots fans feel. I was like, this is amazing. I was like, no wonder they talk all this crap. They can't be touched, you know? And like, even this year, like, I know we lost like to the Patriots and the Jets, but like, it was like, fluke games, you know, blind squirrel finds a nut type of thing to me. And I was like, we lost, but like, it's bound to happen eventually. But like,
yeah,
we're still so much better than them. It's so much more. It's so much fun. So I would say the first year that we swept the East with Josh Allen was probably my favorite.
That was 21, wasn't it? Or 20 or both. Did we sweep both years?
Yeah, 2021. Yeah, 2021.
Yeah. Well, I will say that some of the current teams, I won't say which one, did make the top five. There's also one from the Super Bowl teams, and there's also one going back to the 60s. So, yeah, check that out. And maybe next week you guys can think on it and say who you would put in that list. We can compare. Let's move on. And first of all, let's talk about the Dolphins game. We kind of mentioned a little bit at the outset of the show. And you mentioned the heart attack and all of that. Was there a point in that game for either one of you where you're like, yep, we're not pulling this one out?
Nope.
I never really lost hope. I just kind of said, you know, second half, we're going to get it together.
The team as a whole was playing too well. Like, it was two dumb throws and one missed throw by Josh from being 21, like 17-0. You know, that giant bomb to Diggs and the two interceptions. Yeah. You know, like if he hits Diggs and they call that PI on whoever tackled Dawson Knox before the ball even like was 2 yards from him.
They were letting him play.
Like it was like they could have been up 14-17-0.
Yeah.
I mean, instead they were down like whatever it was, you know, 7-0 or 10-7.
We just missed on a couple plays, yeah.
Yeah, and like so I never felt like we didn't have control. I felt like we were the better team the entire night. Are we going to make too many mistakes? Are the Bills going to bill and beat themselves? You know, that was the main issue. But like you could tell, Josh was settling in, and then that second half he just came out like they were on a freaking mission in that second half, and like there were, and then the when the punt return happened, there was zero chance we were losing that.
Well, I was going to ask if there was a turning point, and that would have to be it. Like that was the moment, we've got this. Yeah, this is done.
Even though it was sloppy at times,
yeah,
still a solid improvement from the week before against the Patriots.
For me, I hate to say it, but it's more of the same. And Casey, you mentioned it. The team has played well almost every single game. It's just a couple of plays here or there, a turnover, or a what the heck are you doing, Josh? Moment. And I mean, I was texting you guys. I was getting frustrated. Like, come on, Josh.
Yeah.
What are you?
Papa Ron was not happy. Folks.
Takes a couple just to get in that rhythm, you know.
Well, and they weren't, especially the one that Diggs or not Diggs to Gabe Davis. Like, you could watch the replay, and he literally was in mid motion of throwing it before he even looked over there. Yeah. And maybe Davis was supposed to sit down in that spot. We don't know that. Yeah. But every single week, it seems to be more and more of the same. But you're right. We dominated the game statistically. It was up and down the field. And by halftime, we should have been up 28-7. I mean, it was impressive. And then that return happened. Okay, I have to tell the story. Speaking of return. So we're sitting there. It's me, my wife. My two girls and their boyfriends are here. Unfortunately, Ashley and her, and she had to go back home. And then Chris and my other daughter, she had to go back home over the weekend too. But so we're all sitting there, six of us. We're watching the game. And for me, when the team isn't doing well and I'm with my family, I tend to just kind of, well, one, I quiet down a little bit. And then F-bombs sometimes will just spew from my mouth. And I maybe bang my fist on the couch. If you kind of fill the armchair of our couch, we have the couch, at least like a sectional, and we have that some of them recline. So I've got my section of the couch, my wife has hers, and then everybody else just kind of fills in. My armrest on the side, there's a little dip where I broke the wood underneath the fabric, and that happened in the 13-second game. When they hit that field, anyways.
Hey, you take out some of the staples, you get in there a little wood glue and pre-drill some screws, and you're good.
It's good, yeah. It's actually perfect now because of the way it dips a little bit. The controller sits perfectly in there like it was meant to sit there.
Nice.
There you go.
It was on purpose.
Anyways, so we're sitting there watching the game. It's 14-7. And you guys know I'm on social media a lot. I'm on Twitter, and I'm constantly, you know, messaging and posting whatever you want to call them, tweets or X's, I guess. Who knows? And I'm sitting there and I'm looking at it, and Matt Parrino – those of you who know who Matt Parrino is, one of the hosts on the Shout podcast, it pops up a notification on my phone. Matt Parrino, 96-yard punt return touchdown. I'm like, wait, what? We're watching the streaming on Peacock because right now our local market is in a contract dispute with DirecTV. So we don't have the channel, so I had to have to watch it on Peacock. So there's a little bit of a delay. And then it happens, and I'm like, oh, God. And everybody looks at me and is like, what? It's like, oh, nothing. Nothing at all.
Oh, man.
What the heck?
So then about, you know, 10 seconds, 15 seconds later, whatever, it happens. And they're like, oh, my gosh. And, that, you know, we're all screaming and yelling.
It so sucks, that's happened to me a couple of times.
Yeah. But it was fun.
That's our modern day means.
Yeah. It's like when you're checking fantasy football. And like,
yeah, you got to turn them notifications off.
Yeah, you check fantasy football. All of a sudden, you got an extra point. You're like, oh, I wonder where that comes from. You look at James Cook rushes for 10 yards. You're like, damn it.
Josh Allen's in the red zone. What? I didn't know
that. Exactly. Exactly.
There's a few comments in here I want to get to here in just a moment. But before we do, I want to kind of touch a little bit on I know it, when you look at the stat line, Josh Allen's stat line. In fact, I was watching the replay of the game, and he had it popped up there. I think it was three incomplete passes by the end of by halfway through the first quarter. He only had 8 for the whole game, so the rest of the way for 3.5 quarters, he only had 5 incomplete passes. But I've brought this up, and I've had some pushback from some people. To me, that game was won by the defense. Yes, Josh Allen's numbers look great, but he also tried to lose that game for us with the turnovers. The defense bailed him out, in my opinion. The defense saved that game. And to me, this season as a whole has been saved by the defense.
Yeah.
Kudos and props to Sean McDermott for that. But what do you guys think?
Well, I mean, we got them off the field in the second half, and we kept the ball. Yeah. I think the Dolphins only had the ball like 7 minutes in the second half.
And we had it like, plays.
Yeah. And we were kind of like neck and neck with plays in time of possession in the first half. And then we just kept it away from them. Like you said, defense was making the stops, and yeah, we had the ball for.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Kara Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday, and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Man. 23 minutes of the second half there. Yeah. So
yeah, the game should have been way out of hand in the first half. But yeah, that's just my opinion on it, was that the defense kind of saved the day again. Casey, anything else you wanted to comment on it?
I wouldn't necessarily say the defense saved the game. I mean, did the defense hold, you know, a team that scored 70 points to 14 points? Yes. I mean, the defense played great. But at the same time, you still got to give Josh's, you know, the praise. I mean, in the fourth quarter, he was the one that sealed the game, making the passes and completing, you know, getting the third downs. That last rush where Kader Kohu, we've all seen him, made that business decision and got out of his way and literally sealed the game.
He said, no, you have the first down.
Like, quite literally, like, I'm shocked. Like, I would be so pissed if I was Mike McDaniel. I would open up meetings on Monday morning just showing that play and saying, this is how you lose a division title. I mean, seriously, if you're not willing to put your body on the line like that, like in the most meaningful game of the season, what are you even doing on the field?
Yeah, you know, he's scared. Yeah.
Well, you remember Kader Kuhu was the same one that Stephon Diggs put in the spin cycle and in their first matchup. The kid can't tackle, apparently.
Apparently not.
Yeah.
Did Josh like hurt the defense? Yeah. I mean, he made them play hard. Like he made it more stressful on them. But then to Mike's point again, I mean, he also took a lot of the pressure off them by playing most of the second half and not giving the defense or the Miami's offense a chance to go down the field and put more points on the board. I truly think it was more of like a 50-50 game, but I understand where you're coming from, where you think the defense like saved the day.
Well, and even after that 4th-and-13 conversion, that run he did, Buffalo didn't convert on that 4th-and-whatever it was, and the Dolphins had 2 minutes, minute and a half opportunity, and the Bills defense shut the door, gave up a couple of big plays, and then the pick happened. Well, there was a couple of defensive stops and then the pick. But either way, the defense shut the door. They sealed the win to me. Again, not to take anything away from Josh Allen. I love Josh Allen. And I tweeted this out after the game. No player I'm sure there have been some players in the past in the Bills team, but currently makes me drop more F-bombs than Josh Allen, but on the very next play makes me fall in love with him all over again. That's who he is. And it is incredibly frustrating. If I'm telling you, if he can ever get that under control and not turn the ball over as much as he does, the sky's the limit. And like, we could be talking Bills Super Bowls, 5-6 of them. Honestly, I really truly believe that. But he's got to get those turnovers under control.
Think about this. If he cuts his interceptions in half, he throws 9 in the season. Which is like, you know, that's a great number. I mean, that's a fantastic number. So, but you say, you know, maybe 4 of those, 5 of those turn into like touchdowns. You know, that if that happened, there's no question who's MVP this year. The only push against Josh is his interceptions. 1, he doesn't lead the league in interceptions. 2, he doesn't lead the league in turnovers. So, like, what I don't understand, he has 3 more interceptions than Tua, 2 more than Patrick Mahomes, like 6 more than Lamar Jackson. But Lamar Jackson has more fumbles lost than Josh has fumbles altogether on the season, lost and recovered. So, like, it's one of those things, like, interceptions are kind of like wins for a QB. They kind of like it, it's more of like an eye test whether they like they deserve the credit for it or not.
Yeah.
I definitely think part of that is playing down to other teams where he was just carelessly throwing away or throwing around the ball in the Patriots game. I'm not saying that's every time he throws a pick, it's because he's being careless, you know, definitely, you know, misses on the throw, but definitely playing the Patriots, they weren't as, you know, the urgency wasn't there or whatever. You're just trying to, you know, you're more relaxed, just trying to see what you can do, you know, and test out things, I guess.
See, the Patriots game, I think he was going for the kill shot.
Yeah.
I think he was trying too hard to spark something.
Well, knowing you can get away with it if it fails, though.
Well, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Like he tried to, like, I mean, maybe there's like another level to this to where like, he's like, even if I do turn it over, I trust my defense enough to get a stop and I trust me and the offense enough to go out and make up for it on the next drive, you know, but like, I don't know, I guess we're all just making excuses for.
Yeah.
Interception. Yeah. I did see an interesting stat. I think it was earlier today actually. And I wish I wrote down the numbers really quick, but I didn't get a chance to. They put up, and I think it was on Twitter, they put up Josh Allen's interception numbers through his first 6 seasons compared to Brett Favre, Peyton Manning, name some other great ones, and he's like right there with them. And obviously Manning brought his numbers way down. Favre leads the world in interceptions for a career, so he never really changed. And I've heard a lot of people make comparisons, Allen to Favre, because of that. But there's a new quarterback that I've seen compared to Josh is being compared to popping up here as of late. And I don't know if you guys really have an opinion on it because you probably didn't watch this guy play, but John Elway, I've seen his name popping up a lot more lately as somebody that the people are comparing Josh to, which to me, that's Yeah, that's right up there. Like John Elway is one of the best. But again, the one thing that separates Allen from those quarterbacks, Favre, Elway, or any other quarterback currently on the field right now, with the exception maybe Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts, is the running. But either one of those two, they don't have the passing that, you know, at the level, the passing level that, that Josh has.
Or as many hurdles. So,
yeah.
I mean, I would personally say, I mean, being as unbiased as I can be, I think the only better running back and the only better running quarterback in the league is Lamar. I don't think Hurts is like any better than Josh at running. I mean, look at the stats. They were right there together in yard. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Josh had more yards. They had the same amount of touchdowns. Only, what was it, 9 of Hurts's came from within 2 yards of the end zone, and Josh's like 11 of them came from out. Like,
that's a good point. Like,
he might be a little faster than Josh, but you know, it's kind of just like a different style of running, you know.
Yeah, I mean, Josh is the best quarterback in the league. That's all I got to say.
Yes, all right. I agree. All right. I agree. another thing that came up too in some of the conversations that I have with some fans is they're worried about, because Josh Allen is running more now since Joe Brady took over, so we're starting to see Allen kind of unleashed, if you will. And of course, there comes the fans coming back that he needs to stop running because he's going to get hurt. Look at Cam Newton. So it kind of got me curious. So I looked up Cam Newton's passing numbers. Allen has almost surpassed them, especially per average. Cam Newton, I believe, had 144 games in his career. Allen is at 93, 94. And to me, the biggest difference and why I'm not worried about Josh Allen's career falling off the table is because Allen's a way better passer than Cam Newton ever was. Yes, there's going to be a point where Allen can't get it done as well as he does with his legs. He's going to have to rely almost entirely on his arm and become more of a drop-back passer. I think he can do it because we've seen him do it. Newton is a career below 60% pass completion rate. He's like 59.3, I think it was. Only 4 times in his career has he ever been over 60%. Allen's been over 60% already 4 times, and he's played 6 seasons. So I'm not really worried about that.
But the only thing Cam could do at the end of his career was run. So realistically, like, when could we even expect Josh to fall off when it comes to running the football? Because if that's the last thing that Cam can do, you know, I mean, don't get me wrong, Cam is a specimen of a human, like, just when it comes to physique, you know, and everything. Josh also isn't some potbelly pig, you know, like, he may not have a 6-pack abs and look like a chiseled god, but he keeps himself in great shape. He's way faster than he looks. Like, I mean, when he gets going full speed, it's like Derrick
covers Henry. Ground.
You know, you just got to let that momentum come up, and all of a sudden it's like, oh my God, look at him go. Like, it looks like nobody can catch him. So if he can just maintain, you know, a certain physique to where he can still move, I don't see his legs giving up on him like too much.
That's a fair point. I want to address here, Roy, I'll put it back up here again. If Allen is running 10 plus times in a game, then to me, the rest of the offense isn't doing their job. To me, that depends on how those are being done. Are those called runs? Then I'm fine with that. If he's having to run for his life because the offensive line isn't protecting, then absolutely agree with that. I think every run is different though. Is it because nobody's getting open, so he's like, I'm out of here? Is it because the pocket's collapsing, so he's like, I'm out of here? Or is it a call run? So I wouldn't necessarily say that the rest of the team isn't doing their jobs. I do agree that there are some instances probably where he takes off because that's his only option, because nobody else is doing it. But there's been a lot more call runs lately, though, too.
Can we just stop, everybody complaining? Remember earlier in the year, Josh, stop running so much. And then he stopped running, and everybody's like, Josh, you need to run the football more. And here he is running the football
absolutely.
More.
Absolutely.
Like, no, Josh, stop running. You're going to get hurt. Oh, my God. Everybody shut up and let Joe Brady do his goddamn job.
Yeah.
Josh is going to be fine. He's not a child. He's a 6'5", 245-pound wildebeest that will destroy anybody that says he can't run.
He's a buffalo. So
Just let him freaking run the football.
I worry about the defensive backs getting hurt.
Exactly. Even linebacker.
All right, Mike, you got to clip this little piece out. That's going up on social media later. That's a good piece right there. Yeah. I'm with you, though. You're right. Like, the fan base complains one way or the other. Either direction you go, it doesn't matter. Rose says, damn, I'm getting old. I'm allowed to complain.
Get off my lawn.
Yeah. Let's we have completely gone off the rails once again. We were talking about the Dolphins game. We have a couple of things we want to get to. Of course, obviously, we want to talk about the upcoming game. Before we do that, I don't know. What do you guys want to do? You want to get into the coaching carousel first or talk about the upcoming game?
I just want to thank everyone for watching so far. And if you're just tuning in, welcome to the Mafia Cast on the Buffalo Rumblings podcast.
Hit the like button.
Hit the like and subscribe. Tell your share. Friends. We love doing this. Friends. We got more commenters every week. You know, it seems seeing new names here and there. So we just love it. Thank you, guys. All right, now we can move on.
That's awesome. All right, moving forward. Let's go ahead and jump into the coaching carousel. I didn't do this on purpose, but I realized as this show was starting and I was going through the banners, I am wearing the gray hoodie in honor of Bill Belichick.
Oh, my God.
Obviously, it's Bill's, but hey, you know.
The hoodie. That's funny.
The hoodie.
I guess we got to start there, right?
Yeah, I mean,
I definitely think you got to start there.
So it's official, or like it's
official.
I watched watched the press conference.
Yeah,
and it was mutual,
right?
So, but you guys remember a couple of years ago when Brady left? I mean, Belichick went in and Kraft had a meeting, and Belichick came out and said, "We have a plan as to when I'm going to leave," and nobody knew whether that meant, you know, a certain time period, like he's done after 2020, like in the beginning of 2023 or 2024, or if it was when he gets, you know, the wins record, or if this happens or that happens. Nobody knew the answer. And we obviously never will, whether it's, okay, you have to have three losing seasons in a row and then we're going to get rid of you. You know, maybe that truly is it, but like we'll never know. So,
yeah.
But once I saw, I have to say, once Nick Saban retired on Wednesday, I just had a feeling that something was coming with Belichick.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I was like, it just seems too, it'd be weird if, I don't know, it just seemed right that the two of them would go out at like the same time.
They have some stat lines that are similar too, right? They're both like, are they 6-9 in championships or something like that? I feel like there's some weird stat like that. That like are lined up. Well, so yeah, that is kind of funny.
Yeah.
Fourth most losses in history. Yeah, that's what happens when you coach one team for 24 years and then what, three other teams for an additional 15. You're in the league for 40 years. You're gonna accumulate some losses. He's also number two in wins.
So, okay, you brought that up. Good segue. Is he the greatest coach of all time in your mind or no?
Brady was the greatest quarterback.
Brady was the greatest quarterback, but those teams aren't as good with any other coach.
They just clicked.
I don't think so.
Everything aligned right, and they just clicked.
There's a reason why a team never went 16-0 and then, you know, a 19-1, whatever it was, because that's how hard it is. Bill like brought his team like the closest it's ever come. He put Tom Brady into positions where like all you had to do is throw the 5-yard check down. You know, he taught Brady and like etched it into him. Just take what the defense gives you. You don't always have to take the kill shot. Belichick goes on, gets Randy Moss and is like, go have fun. You know, go do what you want to do. Like, basically just go run the world. And, like, you saw what that defense was able to do with an offense like that. I mean, we give Belichick a whole bunch of crap as the GM for the teams that he's put together now. But look what he drafted back then. He drafted Gronk. He drafted Aaron Hernandez. You know, look at all the defensive all-pros that he drafted. Mike Vrabel, who I think is probably going to be the next head coach. And for the Patriots, I mean, he's another one. He got inducted into the Patriots Hall of Fame. But I think he's my GOAT of coaches, I would say.
So, I first of all, reading from the commentary, Bob O'Brien is not a fan of Bill Belichick, and I actually lean a little more towards what, you know, how Bob feels. However, I will throw in, I think Belichick's one of the greatest defensive minds, and to quote somebody, and I wish I could remember to give credit where I saw it, but somebody said Belichick was, his defenses were obviously phenomenal, but he had a supercomputer on the offense that he didn't have to worry about.
Yes, being exactly.
He didn't have to go get the best receivers. We saw what happened when he did for a season or two. But, and even as you mentioned, the all pros on the defensive side of the ball, I don't know that they would have been all pros without Belichick. I think, to me, that's where his greatness, if you will, lies. But I also grew up during a time when I watched Bill Parcells take a Patriots team and a Jets team and almost get Super Bowls with him. He took a Giants team and won a couple of Super Bowls, and he didn't even have a Hall of Fame quarterback either time doing that. Phil Simms, Jeff Hostetler, neither one of those guys are Hall of Famers. You can even go back even further. Don Shula, he has the league's only perfect season. He needed it with who? Can you guys name who the starting quarterback was the majority of that season?
I wish I could. I did know it at one point.
Earl Morrill. Anybody ever heard of him? Earl freaking Morrill.
So no, not who I was thinking of.
Yeah.
I'll have to look that up.
So, to me, those are the guys that fall in that GOAT category. If we're talking strictly defense, absolutely Belichick is a GOAT. He is a huge part of why the Giants beat Buffalo in that first Super Bowl. Also, part of it was because they had an smart offensive game plan, the Giants did, and they kept the ball from Buffalo. If I remember the numbers, Giants held the ball for over 40 minutes in that game. Buffalo averaged a point a minute. When you break it down that way. So even Belichick's defense, they held us to 19 points, but we only had the ball for 19 minutes. So, I don't know. And then seeing how the team fell apart after Brady left and the fact that he went on to another team and won a Super Bowl immediately. Yeah, Belichick is not who he is without Brady, in my opinion, and is definitely not the other way around.
Well, Brady turned into a great player coach. Yeah, I mean, he just
say that again.
Brady kind of just went above and beyond Bill, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think that either of them would be as great as they are without the other.
Right.
You know,
the stars aligned for them, and they clicked very well. It was a very great thing.
I understand that Brady went on and won a Super Bowl, but what was the talk when he went and joined the Bucs? They were quite literally only a quarterback away. They had one of the best defenses, if not the best defense in football. They had one of, if not the best wide receiver duo in football. They had Leonard Fournette, a great running back. And he brought Gronk with him, the best tight end of all time. Brady, he was good, but I attribute a lot of that to that entire team as a whole. I think the three of us could have coached that team to a Super Bowl. I mean, they started 7-6, but again, that's finally everybody's adjusted to each other. You know, we all finally know everybody's instincts, how they're going to play, run routes and do this and that and play together. And then look what happened. They just went on a huge freaking run and won the Super Bowl.
Wow.
If they won three Super Bowls, there would be no denial. But the fact that he did it once, it's a little iffy to me.
Yeah.
Well, he did it once because he was 53 years old. I know that's an exaggeration. But we're getting really short on time. Quick, there's a whole bunch of coaches still, openings too. But really quick, Pete, do you guys think he returns next year?
Rabel gone.
Bill, yes.
With
Bill's going to go. Bill's going to go to the Chargers.
I keep saying Tennessee.
Or to the Falcons. Chargers or Falcons?
I think if he wants the record, the win record, which I don't blame him for chasing it if that's the case. I would too. Yeah, but if that's the case, there's no team of the openings other than the Chargers that's better suited to make a run right now. all they're really missing is a good coach, to be honest.
I would say the Falcons would probably put him in a better situation to get that wins record.
The division, quarterback?
The Desmond Ridder, but they have a whole bunch of cap space this year. They've got draft picks, and they've got draft. I can't think of the word. They have assets that they can trade away to move up in the draft. But if it's purely just for the win record, go to the NFC South. Look how bad. I mean, 9-8 won that division. 9-8 didn't even get the end of the playoffs in the AFC on the AFC side. So I think you go to the Falcons. You trade up, you get a quarterback, and then you've got Bijan Robinson, Drake London, Kyle Pitts on your offense with a fresh young quarterback, someone like Drake May, and that's a pretty damn good offense if you can get a good offensive coordinator to
he's like 72 years old. He doesn't have time to develop a rookie quarterback. Now, rookie quarterback could potentially come in and I understand what you're saying as far as the lack of competition in the NFC is definitely part of the equation there. But there was something in here. Roy Collins, Bob Greasy got injured early in that season. Yeah, we're talking about the 72 Dolphins. Yes, that is correct. Bob Greasy was the starting quarterback for the Dolphins that season. Got hurt. He did come back in the playoffs, I believe in the Super Bowl. In fact, they inserted him back into the game. Wish I can remember who that was playing, but I do remember watching the game. And I know it sounds funny to say I watched the game. You can watch every single Super Bowl on YouTube, people. Just FYI, go out there, search it up. It's the actual original broadcast, so you get all those old commercials.
That's awesome.
It's fun, yeah. Actually. I really enjoy it. Me and my neighbor, we're going through them. Yeah,
this summer. Family cigarette.
Lots of cigarette commercials. It's cool. It's fun doing that. I think I'm up to Super Bowl 12 right now, or 13, somewhere around there. But let's get to this weekend's game because, it's been saying we can go as long as we want, basically. And I guess technically we could. But anyways, let's get into it. I know we talked about this earlier in the week because Casey was given Mike props in our little texting group about the Bills going on the run. So I know what Mike will say as far as whether he saw this occurring or believed in it. Casey, were you on the fence, kind of like, I don't think this can happen, but maybe it could. I don't know. Where were you at?
I was probably more like 75-25 that this is going to happen, like that we were going to make the playoffs. I really never felt like – I never thought we were going to miss the playoffs. I'll say that. The division is what I was like, this is looking kind of sketchy.
Yeah.
Like, I was worried, for the division. But then, the Dolphins drop a game, and we pick up a game, and Dolphins, don't look good, and we pick up another game, and all of a sudden I was like, we're going to win this division. I was like, we're going to do this. And, Mike called it live on one of our pods weeks ago, months ago. We could go 6-6 into the bye, into the bye. And
I even called a loss to the Eagles. I said, I'll take a loss to the Eagles because I want to see them again and beat them the second time. But I don't think they're going to make it.
Mike called it perfect. I mean, we all need somebody like that in our life that can be unrational on your own, on your side for you.
I was trying to like not be overly confident, but still kind of confident we could pull it off. So I was really trying to set myself up to not be heartbroken. It's like tiptoeing right on the edge. what else can you expect from the Bills, right?
And that's kind of what I've been saying. Like, this is the last 3 years, this is exactly what they've done. For whatever reason, they, I've heard people say, talk about when their back's against the wall, nobody plays better than this team. And that's what has to happen in order for them to play at the level that we know they can play. Every single year, it's the same story. Come out swinging and knocking people, like blowing them out 20, 30, 40 points. And then they get to the middle of the season and they lose to the Jets and they lose to the Patriots and they lose to the Broncos and they almost lose to the Giants. And you're just left here like wondering what the heck. And I know a lot of people, maybe you want to attribute a lot of the turnaround to Joe Brady, and that's fine. I do think he's changed the offense, but statistically, the offense isn't much different, really. We're still turning the ball over, too. So it's a different style of offense versus what we had before. But to me, that's not really what turned things around. And I've already kind of said it. To me, it was the defense. The defense, they finally figured out how to play with what they've got. They lost those guys early in the season, Trey White, Milano, and Jones. Then they go out, they acquire Douglas, which that was a huge piece of all of this. Huge.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And they just figured out how to make things work with that group. Tyrell Dotson, it took him a little while, too. About midseason, he started to come around and like, holy crap, this kid can play linebacker. He's the third highest rated player on Pro Football Focus. I know a lot of people don't put a lot of stock into PFF, and that's fine. But they're not just handing out grades for the fun of it. They're not just pulling names out of a hat. Oh, look, you get a 93. Look, here, you get a 74. That's not happening. But still, kind of to me, like that's it. Where sometimes it does. I do agree with that. Sometimes it looks like what are you coming up? In fact, I was looking at it today because I was working on an article kind of related to, a little bit to some Pro Football focused stuff. Ed Oliver is the, I want to say, 20-something rated grade on PFF. Yet he's third in the league in sacks as far as interior defensive linemen go. He's got like 60, I think it's 55 or 65 pressures. I don't know exactly where they get their how they – well, if you go to Pro Football Focus and you read their little, I guess, disclaimer or whatever, it talks about what they do. They look at every single play, and some things are weighted differently than others. So if I've got a guy who's for 50 plays, sucks it up for 40 – he's okay. You know, he's not a detriment, but he's all right. But then 10 plays, he's like making a big time play. Give me that all day. Give me that all day long. A game changer.
If it's at the right time.
Makes it game changing. Yeah. Just the right time, which that's what we've seen from Ed Oliver. That's what we've seen from AJ Epenesa.
Clutch.
Clutch. That's a good way to put it. But I don't know. Once again, we've gone off the rails. Welcome to the Modificast, people. If you're still with us, hit the like. Please hit the like button. Share. Casey, what are they supposed to do?
Tell your friends.
Other friends.
Tell your friends. Really quick, score. We need some score predictions. We already had one up here from Bob. I put it up on the screen a while ago, but now I've lost it.
Hope I can find it.
I don't remember.
It was 31-12.
All right. I'll go ahead and lead us off. I'll start this one, you know, because I don't usually start it. So I'm going to say, obviously, I'm going Buffalo's winning this game. On paper, this should not be close. I do think the weather might change things up a little bit. Not necessarily in a negative way. I just think it'll slow the game down a little bit. So I'm going to say Buffalo wins this one in a snow fest, 23-10.
All right. You ready, Case?
Yeah, so I think I'm going to take the Steelers with the spread because the spread's 9.5, and just because of the weather, I'm going to go Buffalo 27-17.
All right, and so Ron said we are better on paper. The only thing that I think they're better than us in is kicking field goal percentage and penalties or something like that. So, you know, if we can keep that stuff at bay, I think the Bills are going to pull it out in the snow. And we're going to get a playoff victory 13-24, I'm saying. Bills.
13-24. You know, I'm just really quick add one more thing in here as far as kind of jumping ahead a little bit. I've seen some people talking about who they would rather face in the divisional round, KC or Cleveland. I believe those are the only two options. Ask you guys really quick. What do you think? Give me who would you rather face, Casey?
Kansas City, just because I would love – because Mike and I, if we win, Mike and I are going next week, period, point blank.
So he's giving me no choice.
It would
– I like it.
My answer is very easy for this question.
Mahomes be able to come up to Buffalo for the first time. Oh, my God, it would be electric.
Yes, indeed.
Spence saying we could face the Texans. So that may be accurate as well. I'm with you, though. I want to see KC because I want Josh Allen to knock KC out of the playoffs once and for all. To me, mm-hmm. I feel like that is the one thing that Chiefs fans hang their hat on, and rightfully so. Allen can't beat Mahomes in the playoffs. I want that to happen this year.
And I don't want to play the Browns because I'm kind of rooting for them. It's my dad's team. It's the Flacco story. Yeah.
It's a cool story. Give you that. It's a cool story. We're going to get on out of here.
Got to beat Casey.
Once again, please hit the like, share, subscribe, whatever platform you listen to your podcast, your VidCast on. And we, once again, we've been listening to the MafiaCast. We are part of the Buffalo Rumblings Network. Whole bunch of great shows on that network. Go check them out. Again, you can find those guys anywhere on your podcast platforms. So for the MafiaCast, we'll see you guys next week. Go Bills.
Go Bills.
Go Bills. Pink air is coming. Tell your friends.
4 for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.